in heavenly places. Remember, we talked about heavenly places last time. And that is always where spiritual battles are won. They're not won here on earth. They're won in heavenly places. We'll find out why in just a minute. Without prayer, your armor will not be infused with the power that only God's Spirit can give you. So prayer is so important. And I think so many times that we pray flippantly. We pray, I'm speaking to myself, I guess. I shouldn't say wait. Pray out of duty. Pray very generic prayers. Lord, bless my children. Bless my grandchildren. Keep them safe. Bless our church, Lord. Help to grow. Bless our country. Those are very general prayers. They're not specific. They're not strategic. And they're not personal. And also, anytime you pray, don't do it just because, oh, it's time to go to bed. I forgot to pray, so I'm going to mumble a few words. I'll tell you, I even one time prayed, now I'll lay me down to sleep. I pray, dear Lord, my soul you'll keep. And if I should die before I wake, I don't know what the last part of it is. I pray the Lord my soul to take. And you know he's already got your soul, but I would do that. Sometimes it made me feel better, but it really wasn't heartfelt, and it wasn't authentic. It was just, I was doing something out of duty. So now we're going to, that's kind of what we discovered last week, prayer. And we're going to talk about prayer a lot, because when we get to the end of the armor, you'll see how important it is. Go to Ephesians 6. This is where we're going to stay most of the time. Let's read together. Y'all don't have to read with me unless you just want to. Verse 12, Ephesians 6. Because this is one of the main things we need to look at. For we wrestle not against flesh and blood. You might as well say, we do not wrestle against people. That's not who our battle's with it. Like I said last week, your worst person that gives you the most grief in your life, they're not your enemy. Our kids who go astray are not our enemy. Our mean people we work with, they're not our enemy. Our boss, our husband is not our enemy. It's Satan. Now you can say, but that person's, it is Satan working in that person's life that will cause you to have think of them as an enemy. For we wrestle not against flesh and blood, but against principalities. Remember, that is a territory ruled by prince. Against powers, against the rulers of the darkness of this world, against spiritual wickedness, our Bible says, in high places. But if you look that up in Greek, it says in the heavenlies. So it's in the heavenlies. So let's look at a few scriptures. So what do we wrestle against? Spiritual wickedness. And do you see spiritual wickedness in our world today? Man, every time. This is, I don't want to get off track too much, but when I saw that one of my favorite actors on one of my favorite shows, One Calls the Heart, that she's now going to be indicted because of illegal procedures to get her kid in a school, paying to get them in the schools that they want to go in. Instead of, there might be some kid out there that could win a scholarship because they worked hard, but yet they only have so many places. And when people can just buy their kids what? That's right, broke my heart about her. That is dishonest. That's not something she broke my heart. But where do we wrestle? In high places, in the heavenlies. A couple of verses we're going. We just read Ephesians 6:12. Think about it again. For we wrestle not against flesh and blood, but against principalities, against powers, against the rulers of the darkness of this world, against spiritual wickedness in high places. Flip over to Ephesians 3. Oh, I'm sorry, Ephesians 1:3. I jumped one. Your page is turning. Blessed be the God and Father of our Lord Jesus Christ, who has blessed us with what? All spiritual blessings, where? In heavenly places, in Christ. All right? Talk about this one for a few minutes while you're there. Look at verse 4. What are some of our spiritual blessings? Somebody real quick just say something. Don't be embarrassed. Spiritual blessing.
Having the Holy Spirit.
That's one. Salvation. Y'all are doing good here so far. You know what I expected somebody to say? My husband. My kids. My home. My beautiful home I've got. my health. Those are physical blessings. They're spiritual blessings. So let's look and see what our spiritual blessings are that are in heavenly places. Verse 4. I got mine underlined. I'm not going to read the whole verse, I don't think, but 1 verse 4. We were in 1, 3. According as he had chosen us in him before the foundation of the world, that we should be holy and without blame before him in love. So what has he chosen us in? Did he choose us because of our abilities? No. Did he choose us because we're richer than somebody else? He chose us because what? We were chosen in his love. That is a great blessing to know that you were chosen because of the love of Christ. Verse 5, having predestinated us unto the adoption of children. Did you know that an adopted child can't be disinherited? He chose you because he loved you, and he made it secure that you're always going to be his. Verse 6, to the praise of the glory of his grace, this is a great one, wherein he hath made us accepted in the beloved. Did you know he was rejected and disgraced so we could be accepted? Verse 7, in whom we have redemption through his blood and the forgiveness of sins according to the riches of his grace. Verse 11, in whom also we have obtained an inheritance. Not going to read any further on that one. Verse 13, I like this one. In whom ye also trusted, after that you heard the word of truth, the gospel of your salvation, in whom also, after that ye believed, you were sealed with that Holy Spirit of promise. And what is a promise? We talked about that before. It's a declaration assuring us that he will do what he said. So think about those blessings. Because of Christ, you're loved. You've been adopted and you cannot be disinherited. You're accepted in his presence and you're accepted in his family. He redeemed us from our sins. He forgave us of our sins. He's given us an inheritance and he sealed us with the Holy Spirit. Those are our spiritual blessing. Verse 20, which he wrought, or let's use the word completed, which he completed in Christ, when he raised him from the dead and set him at his own right hand in the heavenly places. Ephesians 2, verse 6. And hath raised us up together and made us sit together in heavenly places in Christ Jesus. Okay, we talked about some positions there. Since the enemy is in heavenly places, because that's where the war is taking place, and the war is raging in heavenly places. And where's Christ? He's sitting at the right hand of the Father in heavenly places. And the weapons required for gaining victory are designated to be operational in heavenly places. And where are we positioned? In God's eyes. I may be getting ahead of myself. How can we, weak, because you know women are the weaker vessel, how can we, weak women, earthbound, how can we engage in this battle? How can we win this battle? What is it within us that can help us to win this battle?
The Word of God, Holy Spirit, prayer.
Okay. I'm going to go back to Ephesians 6. Those are good. Forgiven for that. We'll be forgiven for everything. You have to press the button. Y'all have to, you're going to have to start saying that. You need to press the button. And you know, I didn't even know where my phone was. Okay. Forgive me. Ephesians 6, 13 and 14. Wherefore, take unto you the whole armor of God, that you may be able to withstand in the evil day, and having done all to stand, stand. Therefore, having your loins girt about with truth. Okay. I look up simple words. A lot of people may say, I know what withstand means. Wherefore, taking you the whole armor of God, that you may be able to withstand. Dictionary. That means to resist, either with physical or moral force. Okay, in the evil day, and having done all to stand. I know what stand means. Do y'all know what stand means?
Yeah.
It means to stand up, right? Stand. The dictionary says it's to be in a state of fixedness, to continue, to endure. The next word's therefore. You know what therefore means? I thought I knew. But when you read it in text, it's like, because of what was said before, and for this reason, for this cause of what he said, take on the whole armor, therefore, having your loins girt about with truth. Loins. Y'all didn't know I was going to give you a word lesson today. Loins. I know tenderloin, where it comes from, and I thought, where are really my loins? Well, it says, in the dictionary, it says that it's the part of the side and back between the ribs and the pelvis. But Webster's dictionary says, the region of the thighs and groin. Now, Roman, you know, the armor, Paul is using Roman armor to describe the spiritual armor they should wear, because do you think what was marching around in front of them all the time? They were seeing these Roman soldiers constantly walk around. Now, I don't know if y'all see this little bitty thing. I tried to order a poster that didn't get here in time. But you see this right here? That little thing that's hanging down? Now, I wondered where they got these pictures, but I did look up some, and there were some stone carvings that had this on there. So that little thing hanging down. Okay, that is covering his loins. And when you look it up, there's another word, and I don't speak Hebrew or Greek very well, but it meant leather belt, because a lot of Bible translations call this a belt. Do you see those little things on there? They're metal. They're metal pieces that are on there, that gives them more protection when they're in battle. And also this belt that they wore, they can pull their tunics up and stick it down in here so they can be ready for battle. So, we're gonna inspect our first piece. That is our first thing right there. It doesn't say a thing. You know, it says, gird your loins. And having heard about with truth. So this is going to be our belt of truth. That's our first piece of armor. Okay. Truth is going to be our core support. And there's a lot of people in here, if you've ever had back problems, you know about core support. That's what keeps you up. All the things that James has gone through, his back and everything, he has a very weak core. And he's got vertebrae that are just cracking. He's going to have two more of them filled up with cement. His core is weak. If you have a weak core, I'm getting a little bit ahead of myself, but Tracy, you've had back problems, okay? Your core is very important, isn't it? If you don't have a strong core, it packs a lot of other things. So that's one reason truth is our first piece of armor, and it protects our core. And your core is the... A lot of things in here. It's where all of your major organs, gut. Yeah, your gut's there too. And you get gut shot in a Western movie, you're gonna die, you know. But we know that truth, and it's our core. But what is truth? What does truth mean? Back to my dictionary. Everybody thinks they know what truth is. Somebody's back there is giving a little sign signals. Let's see what Noah Webster says about it. Conformity to fact or reality. What fact and what reality? This is the part I really... Noah Webster, I like the way he does things, because he knows that God is there. Exact accordance with that which is, or has been, or shall be. Who was, is, and shall be. So, the truth of history, and this is something that really got me, this was another definition, the truth of history constitute its whole value. Do you know that the schools are changing history? They're leaving things out, they're changing it to different things. So, and this is what the Bible teacher that had this, put this in here, I really didn't like it, because her definition with truth is God's opinion on any matter. I didn't like that word opinion. My husband and I have different opinions about mustard. He thinks it's awful, I think it's good. So you can make a statement that could be your opinion and be right. I could have a different opinion and be right, but it's not truth. So what I put in here, the truth is God's word on any matter. Not his opinion, but his word on any matter. And why is truth the first thing? What do we know about Satan? Satan is a liar, the father of lies, so to stand against him, we have to know the truth. If you don't know this truth, you can be easily deceived by Satan. Okay. What are some of the signs of a weak core? How do we know that we don't have on the belt of truth? Some signs of a weak core. Poor posture, injury prone, and body fatigue. When you have back problems, just like my husband, when he tripped over our dog, man, that injured him. That's how he broke two more vertebrae. So the weak core, had his back already not been weak, the doctor said, it may not have, you, no matter what, how bad you thought that fall was, had your core and everything been strong, it might not have caused us to crack. So, but we're going to talk about poor posture. What does poor posture? It means you buckle under pressure. That's physical. If you don't have a strong spiritual core, sometimes we buckle under pressure. If you don't have a good core, you have the inability to stand straight, which means firm, or to stand for a long period of time. What did our verse here tell us that we need to do? That we may be able to withstand. And the last thing I said, in the evil day, and having done not stand, to be in a state of fixedness, to continue, to endure. So all of these things I'm giving you, a weak core, it can be a weak physical core or it can be a weak spiritual core. And I want to shake hands with the one out here that says, my core is strong, I'm as spiritually strong in my core as anything else. You have to really examine yourselves. You don't know how much examining I've had to do here. How about injury prone? Being injury prone is not only hard on your joints and your muscles, it's hard on hearts and relationships. And I'm not talking about, yeah, it hurt me to see my husband hurt, that relationship. We're talking about other relationships. Sensitivity to taking offense is one of the key ways that Satan traps believers in his web of darkness. When we're easily wounded and hurt by other people's words and actions, and then you can be hurt, and you can justifiably be hurt. But here is where the spiritual strength of that truth. If you choose to nurse that hurt, and if you choose to dwell on that hurt, what's it going to do to you? It's going to make you bitter. Remember last week when I told you about, they asked me to put down mine, and I wrote mine down. I had all this stuff on there, and they said, well, what was my result of that? I became very bitter. I was bitter with people that were really loved me, but I was like, I'm going to talk to them because they'll tell me I'm wrong, and I'm not wrong. I got a right to be hurt with this person. I have a right to be upset with this person. And maybe your physical being does have that right because you were injured. But what about us? Have we ever hurt Jesus? Have we ever ignored him? Have we ever said, well, I don't believe that to be true. I've read my Bible before. And I said, I just don't see how that can be true. And sometimes we don't even go to him and say, I'm sorry. But yet he forgave us. He was nailed to a cross for us. And he forgave us. So many times somebody can hurt us emotionally. block ourselves off from them. We don't stop and think about how much Christ forgave us for. If we're not willing to forgive and accept, and you know that person that hurt you, probably one of the best things that you could do, even if it's hard for you to do, is ask the Lord within His power. Go to that person and say, you know what you said hurt me, but I still love you. And I hope that God blesses you. It's hard to do. I had to do that one time. I mean, God told me, I was bitter. And it's not, we here at this church a long time ago. And it's like the Lord said, go give her a hug. Because this was in the middle of the service. And he kept saying, go give her a hug. Anybody needs to go give somebody a hug, she needs to come give me a hug. And the longer I sat there and thought about that, the more miserable I got. I got up out of my pew. I walked over to that lady. I put my arms around her and hugged her. She broke down like I've never seen anybody break down. And when I turned around, the altar was full. So God had to get me out of my rebellion, help me to quit nursing that hurt, and to let me know, if you want to be like me, you got to forget about you and her, help her. It sure helped me a lot. Okay. Bodily fatigue. When I can't see. When our physical core isn't well supported, its ability to supply the level of strength you need for other movements. When they did James's back and looked in there, I thought he just had a hurt back, and that's all it was. I did not know that there's blood veins that run down that spine that feeds off into other parts of the body. And that just opened my eyes when I'm reading this, like that core. If it's not strong, you may not be able to move this way. You're not, and it affected all parts of the body there. When we stand firm on the truth of God as revealed in His Word, when His truth is at the core of our very existence. Now, you know, you'll think you're a pretty good person until you really start thinking about, is He my core? Is the Word of God my core? Is that the most important thing to me? I failed miserably. So ladies, not with y'all, I'm putting on this armor. I've been doing this Bible study for a while, but then going back over it and to try help, it made me realize, and I thanked Tommy. I said, thank you for letting me do this. I mean, whether it helps y'all or not, it's helping me. Let me get back here. When it's at our core existence, then strength flows into every other area of our lives. All our movements and activities bear witness to the power of God. Where do we move within? Schools, jobs, ministry here at church, relationship with other people. If our core is strong with God's word of truth, it's going to help us in everything that we do. Other people are going to see it. Ever noticed that when you get right and you really right, lots of times you'll think, hey, these people have really changed. All these people, they're a lot nicer than they used to be. And it might be because I got a smile on my face instead of. So think about that. However, let's see it. Our firm confidence in His promises give us not only a holy courage. Now that's a thing to have, holy courage. I thought that was Shelby. And the reason I was going to pick on Shelby is because we're adults.
We can pretend.
I wasn't going to pick on. Well, you know what? It could be the same thing.
She doesn't
here.
Like adulting. Just go with Shelby.
Well, she's in high school still, right? Mm-hmm. She faces things that we never faced. There's peer pressure. It's unreal. So for her to stand up and say, no, if her friends are, no, doing that. I'm a Christian. Of Christ in my heart, or to be strong like that, to be a witness when it's not. And girls like to be popular. I mean, and I'm sorry, but girls can be mean. They can be mean. I mean, my granddaughter, I talked about her, she was wounded really bad by some girls when she was about 13 or 14. And it really devastated her. I mean, they were like, well, you don't wear this clothes and you don't wear that clothes and you don't wear enough makeup and you don't do this or you. There's just a lot of things that those girls will do that guys don't do. When we're girded by the truth of God, the lack of excitement. Thank you. I thought you was going to get my phone.
I'll take it.
Before I threw it down. If we're not girded with the truth, and Debbie just kind of brings this out. She told me something the other day that I thought, no, how she did that. But anyway, if you're not girded by the truth of God, you'll have a lack of excitement. You'll appear to be exhausted. You have an unfulfilling nature in our relationship. If your relationship with God is not where it needs to be, you may not know it, but it kind of seeps out. And people see it. Because she told me, this woman here, she said, I know something's wrong with you. And I'm like, I thought I had it hid so well. But she knew something's wrong. That I had a burden. She helped me bear it. So sometimes when you just get that, you lose your smile, or you're not as talkative. Ladies, we need to watch out for the ladies, because that blessed me. It's like what I wanted to know, but it blessed me that you could be so close to your sisters and your Christians in Christ that you know you'll say something. You may not have to go to them right there. Now, if I can see where we're at, I'm going to get done. How do we strengthen our core? It's not by doing sit-ups, because when you're in your 60s and you try that, your feet go up in the air instead of this coming up here. You can strengthen your core, but you have to start young doing it because these muscles just don't do what they're supposed to do. So I've kind of decided I really can't do a whole lot about my physical core, but I'm going to strengthen my spiritual core. A strong core helps us with our balance, our stability, and our resistance to injury. And that's what the doctor told James about his back. Our stamina over time and under pressure. A weak core means the difference, and we're talking about physical core here right now. A weak core means the difference between being able to walk upright or being relegated to a chair. Brother Don, he told James a long time, you know, he's having problems with it. He said if things keep going downhill as they were in the past, he might be in a wheelchair. Sometimes you just get weak. What are the benefits of our spiritual core? Now, we read that in 6:13. We'll be able to withstand in the evil day and stand firm. Why must the belt or band of truth come first in any successful warfare against our enemy? It must come first because we don't know this. If we don't know it well, Satan's good. Satan's good at what he does. He's good at confusing you. He's good at making you doubt. Our society today does not take a strong firm on truth. Have you noticed that? If you watch any of these things that they're having, one they'll say something, they'll say something. We don't take a strong stance on truth. Our country does not. Many people who call themselves Christians don't have a strong core belief system to govern their lives. Now you can say, oh, they do. If you don't frame all of your decisions around the Word of God, then your belief system might be a little bit off. Truth is our core support. It provides the essential backing we need when we're in the middle of a spiritual war. Okay, remember, what is Satan's major tactic? Deception. If he can deceive you, you're there. Unless we know the truth. I don't mean read it, just read it, know a little bit about it. If we do not really, really know it in our core, in our heart, in the part that is who we truly are, if we don't know it, we're going to easily fall prey to his ploys. Let's think about a lady in the Bible, Eve. And she's in paradise, had everything she needed. And Satan came up. And what did he ask her? Words for word or not. He says, "What can you do? What has God told you about this?" He says, "Well, we can eat of every tree, the fruit of every tree in the garden, except the one in the middle of the garden. Why? Well, when we do, we're going to die." He said, "Will you really die? Just a few little words." He made her doubt. And I could read, but I'm not going to go there. The scripture says that she looked at it. She saw it was pleasant to the eye. Saw that it was good. She didn't think of that on her own. She wasn't sitting around looking at that tree thinking, "Man, I kind of like to have some of that." God had said, "Don't do it." So she didn't do it. He made her doubt the word of God because he told her a lie. Then, and the part of the lie was not that, you know, you shouldn't eat the fruit. It was that God said, "When you do it, you will surely die." He said, "Thou shalt not surely die." So he lied. What did she do? And that's James, we're talking about sin coming on. I said, "Can you believe that one bite of a piece of fruit condemned the whole world to be born in sin?" But it really wasn't one bite, it was disobedience, is what it was. But as soon as she took that, her eyes were open. She became a sinner. And what was her next step? "I just became a sinner. Here, you try it."
Okay.
And he, because he loved her more than he loved God. That's more than I want to talk about. But think about it. Satan is there and he's working. Psalms 119, 160, you don't have to look. "Thy word is true from the beginning." Ephesians 4, 21. "If so be that ye have heard him and have been taught by him, as the truth is in Jesus." And why is the truth in Jesus? Because who was Jesus? The word of God. It's all there. The word of God. Okay. How are we supposed to put on the belt of truth? How do we do that? How do we belt ourselves? How do we gird our loins with truth? We uphold and affirm the standard. This is the standard that we should live our life by. The truth and the boundaries set by God in Scripture. We commit ourselves to them. It's hard to commit to this. And you say, "Well, it's really not." How many people, don't raise your hand, just a thought. How many people spend more time reading this Bible than they do watching television? How many people in this day and age, probably a lot of y'all white hairs like me or not, how many people spend more time playing games on their phone or their tablet than in this Bible? To commit to this is to make it the main thing in your life. The Word of God. Okay. We commit ourselves to this and resolve to teach them to the people around us. Now, how are we going to teach this to the people around us? It's how we live our life. If God's truth is the main thing in your life, then it's going to show. Everybody's going to know that. And then we daily, systematically, repeatedly begin letting God help us align our decisions, our responses, our attitudes and ambitions alongside what? Alongside his benchmark of truth, this word of God. I had a friend. She worked with me. She needed a new vehicle. She didn't have good credit. She was a Christian girl. She wanted to buy this van because she had children that she needed to haul around. This was her prayer. "Lord, if it's your will for me to get this van, let my credit be approved."
She came in and she said, I know it was God's will for me to get this, get my credit approved. She said, I only have to pay 14% interest. Do you think God wanted her to debt herself into that? A lot of times we'll do that. We'll say we're running it by God, but we always put that if in there. If you want us to do this, what you need to do is get in here and find what you want to do. Okay, we continually learn about the character and purpose of God, both from the Bible, and what's our other teacher? I said a while ago, Dr. Anne Marie's up there flipping the Bible, let me know. Our other teacher is the Holy Spirit. It's within us. But you know, sometimes we drown him out with the crud of our life, but we can't hear him talk to us. We filter every circumstance, personally and culturally, and that culture just means what's happening in the world around us, through the mirror of his word. Look at it through here. It'll show us. It'll tell us. Sometimes it's hard to discern it. You may have to get a friend to help you or pray with you. But run it through here. What? I've been offered a job. Not me. I wouldn't have one. Somebody offered me one. Somebody says, I've been offered a job, and it's paying me 3 times what I'm making now. But I have to work on Sunday. I mean, that puts you in a... That, if you really need that money to make things go, you're tempted to do it. Run it through God's word. Sometimes he can work it out. But if your whole focus is just the money and just getting ahead and physical pleasures, you're looking at it wrong. Don't lean on your feelings, political correctness, or the opinions of others. Go to God's word. Truth becomes our starting place, and then everything else begins falling into a much better place. Just because we read the Bible doesn't mean we've chosen as our standard for living. How many people in here got a gym membership? How many people use it every day? How many people take advantage of that membership? You can say, oh, I'm a member. Well, some people don't.
I have to keep my core strong.
That's right. Well, make sure you're praying while you're working on your machines. But yeah, that, a lot of people think, well, I'm a member of so-and-so gym, and everybody's going to think you're real healthy, and you're real gung-ho with that. But unless you use the resources that you have, they don't do any good. So based on this lesson about being girded with the truth in your minds, or write it on a piece of paper and look at it, it'll help you assess yourself. Assess the strength of your core. If we have a healthy spiritual core, we can walk upright longer. We can portray Christ longer. We can stay strong even under pressure or strain. If your job is burdening you down and you think, I just can't stand this anymore, get that core strong. You'll hold up against it, and God will make a way. You'll become able to absorb. This is one. I'm sorry, I'm going to say this about ladies. I worked with men, and I had ladies that worked under me, and I had one that didn't speak to me for 3 months except to answer a question about work as far as any talk. Women seem to take criticism more to heart than a man does. So we need to become able to absorb criticism and don't take offense to it. Have you noticed how men will see somebody and they say, man, I haven't seen you. You sure have got fat since I saw you. A man can say that to another man and they go, yeah, I put on a few pounds here. If you came up to me and said, you sure are getting fat, I'd say, well, you're ugly. I mean, you would want to respond in a way. So, as women, we got to, you know, not say you're ugly. Say, well, thank you for noticing that. Okay. Once we place our faith in Jesus in God's eyes, this is what we have to remember. I said, how can we earthbound women fight this? Remember that we are positioned spiritually right there with Christ in the heavenly places. Forces of darkness are in heavenly places. Our spiritual blessings are in heavenly places. Christ is seated in heavenly places. And once we've placed our faith in Christ and in Jesus, in God's eyes, we are positioned spiritually with Christ in heavenly places. So ladies, the battle is raging. It's raging every day. Satan knows that he cannot destroy us. The best that he can do, and he full well intends to do this to the best of his ability, is to make our time on earth ineffective for Christ, unproductive for Christ. He may make us insecure, he might make us fearful, and he may have us so discouraged that we just about go. But remember this, he can, where are we? We're seated with Christ in heaven. He cannot unseat us. He does not have the power to do that. As God says, nothing can pluck us out of his hands. So let's resolve that we won't be like the women in 2 Timothy 3:6. Somebody want to look up that real quick? I've shut my Bible. Tracy's got one of those tablets that's not like my yellow tablet. 2 Timothy 3:6.
Okay.
Okay, read it.
For of this sort are they which creep into houses and lead captive silly women laden with sins, led away with diverse lusts.
All right. Do we want to be silly women? Mm-hmm. And be changed by every wind of doctrine? Listen to this lady preacher on television telling you this, that you can do this and not that, and it sounds good. We do not want to be driven by every wind of doctrine. Okay, so the time has come, ladies, for us to be women girded in God's truth. Thank you for your attention. It's 11:45. We got to go.
Let's pray real quick.